Welcome to Show 69, BigFoamyHead.com, the Bear Republic Beer Show.
Like a rocket. Like a rocket. Like a rocket. I'm a one certifiable rocket. Like a rocket. Like a rocket. Like a rocket. I got the whole universe in the palm of my hand. What's a transmission? Four on the floor. It's an upper lot of milk for a 32 Ford. It's got no fenders or running board. To the finish line, I'm building towards like a rocket.
Reverend Horton Heat,
Like a Rocket.
And you said that was what?
The official song of the Daytona 500. I don't know how the hell that happened, but I was just looking around for it, and I'd heard Reverend Horton. I just wanted something up-tempo. I've had such a long, soul-numbing day. I had to get something, and you were dragging.
Yeah, we're both dragging. So what'd we do?
We took matters into our own hands and self-medicated.
With Bud Extra.
Yeah, it's some nasty, funky stuff.
It's the beer with caffeine, ginseng, and guarana extract, and natural raspberry flavor.
Yeah.
And it smelled like?
It smelled like cat piss and raspberry.
Right.
It's like a litter box.
Throw some raspberries in your litter box and take a big old whiff.
Take a big whiff.
That's pretty much what you got.
It was a horrible, hideous nose. Don't pour this out of the can. Don't let the funk escape.
Just drink it as quick as possible.
Yeah, hold your nose, drink it, and it will jack you up.
It's got caffeine, ginseng, and guarana, so good.
And the only other redeeming factor, it's 6% alcohol.
That is good.
It's a malt beverage.
At least I can sell it here.
So we self-medicated with that. A little perkier. We only did a half a can each. Didn't want to push the envelope there.
So we're featuring Bear Republic beers out of Healdsburg, California.
Yep.
That's a little north of San Francisco on Highway 101. Never been there. Would love to try it out. And our first beer is Racer 5.
Everybody loves this beer.
Has a 98% on ratebeer.com. This was the beer that was featured with the Dude Night video.
Mm-hmm. The Hop Father.
The Hop Father. In our promotional commercial. Which is
mysteriously absent.
Absent, but you can still find the Dude Night Hop Father video on
Google,
on Clark's site.
Oh yeah,
or YouTube actually.
And we've poured the beer and we're waiting to hit it. And I have been chewing on habanero Doritos. So hoppy beers go good with spicy foods.
Yes, they do.
And so now we're diving into it. What do you get?
It had a nice pillowy head, fluffy white pillowy
pudding.
Head. It's got stuff floating it. Yeast sediment.
It's not a clear beer, but that's okay.
I think it's obviously bottle conditioned.
Yep. Good stuff.
It's either that or that's whole hops floating around in there.
Well, that's okay, too. Hops are good for you.
It's nice and smooth.
Very effervescent, too. And there's a lot of the particulate floating around. I'm holding this up, looking at it to the light, and it's like a little show in the glass. There's all kinds of little things. And I know it's not backwash, because I just had one drink.
No. It's actually in the bottom of the bottle. I tried not to disturb it too much.
This is one of my favorite IPAs. It's a really good drinking IPA.
The bottle says Racer 5 is an aggressive styled India Pale Ale handmade from a brewery whose motto is bigger is better. Well, whose motto is not bigger is better? This golden, well-hopped, bottle-conditioned ale demands your attention. Try the next generation of IPA. Racer 5. Racer 5 being a reference to?
Speed Racer.
Mach 5.
There
Speed
you go.
Racer Mach 5.
And cue the music.
Someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, bet your life to Racer, see it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go. He's up and flying, empty guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
Love that song.
So there is, just...
Go Speed Racer.
The best, we were talking about that earlier, it's the best anime ever made.
No, the first anime.
The first anime. Well, it's the best anime, as far as I'm concerned, because it doesn't have a lot of mystical crap. It's guys driving really fast and a monkey.
Yeah. And Trixie and the pop mechanic.
Yeah. It was just fun. They weren't trying to be mystical and my kung fu is better than yours and all the crap. Now, there's no, I mean, the animes they show on, you know, late at night, it's the same stuff.
Well, I had the steering wheel had buttons lettered A through H, I believe, and each one was a different function, from the oil slick to the leaping car button. Speed Racer, they have a 2008 live-action film adaption coming up from the Wachowski brothers. Aren't those the guys who did...
Yeah, something about Mary and some of the others, right? Or is that the Coen brothers?
I thought the Wachowski brothers did the Matrix movies.
Okay. We're going to look it up, and we'll tell you next segment.
Yeah, we'll catch it up.
Who wants to be prepared? that's for sissies.
Yeah, I just read that. But I think it's interesting they got a full-length action movie coming out.
Yeah.
With Racer Rex, that's Speed Racer's older brother.
Well, you know, there's that's I don't know whether it's Hollywood is going back to, let's find something that worked and revive it, right?
Oh, they have no creativity. Well, they're just going to dig up everything that people liked as children and throw it at us.
So you know? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming out again. Yeah. And
jeez, you can never get too much of that.
Spider-Man 3 is coming in summer, I believe. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, which...
I saw that. The Silver Surfer looks kind of goofy, but I like the Fantastic Four.
Well, and Silver Surfer was kind of a controversial dude. Sometimes he was good, sometimes he was bad. He had his whole comic series. They don't usually do that for the bad guy. So
I think Spidey's going to be good.
It should be. And there's just all kinds of stuff coming out that's just more, less meaningful and more just pure dumbass entertainment. Ghost Rider, you know, What are you going to read into that? I mean, it's not.
It was a thoroughly enjoyable movie that you go and you watch. And
it was fun.
It's got great song as the credits are rolling and you leave and you got a smile on your face. And
yeah, it was fun.
Nicolas Cage could be a badass, maybe in his worst day.
Yeah.
A little bit more about Racer 5. This is a hoppy IPA. It says, did I say hops? Your brewer's a hophead. This is a full-bodied beer using American grains. The goal is to create a base for showing off the unique floral qualities of two Pacific Northwest hops, Columbus and Cascade. Columbus is a new hybrid, high alpha, acid hop, used mostly for bittering, but used heavily as an aromatic in this strong brew. Cascade is the balance that ties the malt and the bittering hops together. It's a true specialty ale and is our brewer's statement on the style. Tons of award, including the 1999 Great American Beer Fest Gold Medal winner.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Very good. It's a great beer. I enjoy every sip.
Alcohol by volume.
And how much? Seven?
7%.
Yes. 7%. Good
and
stuff.
And 69 IBUs.
And I love an IPA. And now, brace yourself. I've finally got the beer kit going with your help. I'll tell you, the beer they said would never happen.
He's been talking about it since October.
Yeah.
And I was about to start using Yoda on you. There is no try. There's do or do not. There is no try.
Well, it's in the first stage, which you convinced me to put it in glass. We're going glass all the way with it. It's an IPA. It's kind of interesting, and you know, the hops that you use, right, in an IPA, the whole thing is lots of hops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, we had a leftover beer from last show. Somehow it got away from us, the Hopalicious. And I had that, and it was good and florally, and because it's all Cascade, right?
It was Ale Asylum, yeah.
Yeah, Ale Asylum. Did I do it again?
No.
Okay, good. All right, so Ale Asylum, Hopalicious. Tasty beverage, very fragrant. This is, I like this, I'd say I like this in a different way. It uses Cascades, but it's kind of like the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So this has, I think, a little, it's less citrusy, more hoppy, kind of astringent at the very end, kind of rinse your mouth out with it. This is good, because I don't want the hops, I want them to hang around just long enough and then leave quietly.
I have to remember if I've used Columbus in any recipes I've had recently.
I don't,
it's not ringing a bell.
No, and the one that I've got here, it was Chinook, and I think that was it.
I think that was it, yeah.
Did it have a Cascade at the end? I don't know.
I don't remember.
But the other thing it had, and this is kind of weird, toasted oak chips. So that's going to be kind of interesting. So IPAs you can do a lot with. I mean, the common factor is lots of hops, and you've got that nice mouthfeel, and it's light, a light mouthfeel. I like seeing these little particulates floating around. These are kind of interesting, and they're suspended.
I'm pretty sure it's yeast, so it's all good for you. It's a lot of vitamin B.
Maybe that's what's giving it the mouthfeel, too. So you've got those little particulates floating in it, because that's got to be pretty dense to have it. They're just hanging there. I like it. I mean, it's you can't go wrong with Racer 5. Bear Republic, good product.
I've had this on tap in California. It's wonderful on tap.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of discussion going on lately about, you know, whether beers are better out of the bottle or on tap, and this is one that's fantastic both, actually.
Yeah,
so.
I think it just depends on where you are and how old's the tap. And
so back to your IPA. You are planning to...
Going to rack to secondary, and we're going to do a little experiment. You hook me up with my stoppers and my airlocks. What I've got some growlers, and you brought a couple more over. I'm going to take this IPA and put about 3 gallons, maybe 2.5, into the big secondary and throw a little bit of apricot in. I like the apricot. It just a little, and it just... makes an interesting twist, and then
the bulk of it's going to be apricot.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah, like the aprihop, the Dogfish Head aprihop, but I'm not using as much as last time because I want some hops. And then the others we're gonna put off secondary ferment in growlers. do like, are those gallons or half gallons?
Half gallons.
Half gallons. So we're going to do a couple of half gallons with poblano peppers because my wife loved the poblano. Was it a pale ale that Johnny
Johnny Max brought it.
Yeah. Oh, she loved that. So I'm going to try that with the IPA. Put a little poblano in there. And also, I'm going to smoke some jalapenos, make chipotles, dump some of that in. So I have a chipotle IPA, a poblano IPA, and an apricot IPA. Now, I'm not getting all weird and fruity beer because the hops just kind of use the flavors as just kind of like a little backdoor note, right?
Mm-hmm.
The peppers, they're gonna add some heat to it. But we've had it, and Johnny said this is good for a marinade, but my wife liked it to drink. So
now I believe that he took all the seeds out and all the veins and everything to kind of make the peppers.
Going to do the same
thing.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. You don't want to go straight at it like that. It just wouldn't be that good. And I'm going to do the same thing. And with the chipotles, I'm going to skin them down real good before I even smoke them.
I hope you reserve a bottle each for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's all right here. And we're using, as primary, one of the glass carboys that Johnny brought up here, mm-hmm. kindly enough, gave to us. And
poked a hole in the top, put the bubbler on it. And
it's got a nice foam container, so it's not exposed to light.
Yeah.
Everything's clean, and that's the whole deal about homebrew,
right?
No
oxygen getting in?
Nope. Keep it clean. Keep
no
it
light.
In Nope, no so light.
You're not skunking your beer.
Constant temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all good. And you got a bunch of beers coming to fruition too, right?
Yeah. Did we want to do that in this segment?
Well, we can pick it up next time. Why don't we take a break? And we've got a little bit of Memphis music for you. And in the next segment, I'm going to tell you about our favorite event of the year coming up. Memphis in May is coming up quick. We're 2 months or a month and a half out from a month-long party. And we saw these guys last year. They're coming back this year. Feel free to shape your rump to the funk. This is Bar K's and Holy Ghost.
of our perennial favorites, the Bar Kays and the Holy Ghosts.
Local Mempho group. And we're getting into our next beer and getting into our homebrew update.
While you were shaking your rump, we were pouring some beer. We got the Bear Republic
Black,
Big Bear Black Stout.
There's a lot of B's in that.
We were actually thinking about doing this our last show, which was a stout show.
It was a stout show, but we held off. Because
we wanted to have a little theme for this one. We had two Bear Republics, and we figured that makes a show.
Mm-hmm. And they're one of the breweries who can do multiple styles, and they're unique from one another.
I got pages on pages of the different beers they brew. So.
And they're, you know, it's our mission in life to try all of them.
Just about every one of them is an award winner.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, mark of a good brewery. Very good stuff.
Including the Up and Smoke Ale.
This is like, the head on this thing.
It was thick.
You poured a giant four-finger head
but it was very gentle. I mean, I was just barely trickling it into your glass.
But it's really, you were talking about the head on the other one, pillowy. This is like puffs, and there's different colors in the foam, which I think is rather unique. See, look at that. Mm-hmm. I got tans, I got darks, I got whites. I got all kinds of interesting stuff.
What do you think of the nose?
Oh, man. Good. So a lot of chocolate and coffee smell, mm-hmm. of course, stout. Usually, you know, porters, you get a lot more of that chocolate sort of smell, but this, oh, man.
Dark, roasty goodness. This is really smooth, especially after the IPA.
Not really one we want to eat with the fiery habanero Doritos.
Right.
Or drink with it, excuse me.
Maybe it's time to retire the Doritos.
Yeah, we may have to put them aside because, man, oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
It's a 98 on ratebeer.com.
I seized up for a minute.
And Big Bear, as the name implies, is a hefty black Russian Imperial style stout. The stout, strong stout boasts rich caramel sweetness lavished by a robust, deep roasted heartiness you can sink your teeth into. Big Bear's bold flavors are produced using a blend of Belgian and English roasted barley and crystal malts. Some unique flavors come forth in the malt character. Louisiana sweet molasses and dark brown sugar.
Okay. Well, it is a sweeter beer, and I'm a little left of center because eating hot food and drinking hops, and so I think this is going to pull us back into line here. Yeah. It does have a lot of sweetness. We're going to get more as we drink.
This dark brew is well hopped with Chinook and Cascade hops, which are somewhat masked by the malt. This is a balanced, strong brew boasting an alcohol by volume of 8.1% that can creep up on you, so don't get mauled. It has a dry, roasted quality that masks its high alcohol content, so drink responsibly, and it won a bunch of awards.
Now, I would never, ever have guessed Chinook, because Chinook's pretty aggressive. That's that whole pine sort of hop, and I like Chinooks. But you don't get the pineness of
the
Chinook.
Did you know that there were Louisiana sweet molasses, though?
Well,
I've never even heard of them.
No, I mean, there's molasses everywhere in the South. It's very good. I keep hitting it. Sorry, I'm not talking. I'm drinking. It's really good.
I just want to make sure Louisiana sweet molasses. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's
never heard of it.
No, I mean, there's molasses everywhere, and there's sorghum and all of that. I mean, it's all more sugar. And I have read that adding molasses does give a little more robust character because molasses is a very unrefined sugar product, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a lot more character in your sugar there. But
I know Louisiana is famous for crawfish and
never heard molasses.
Cayenne pepper.
Oh.
I never heard.
No. Well, I guess it must have said that on the label.
Maybe these folks in California thought they were getting something special. I don't know.
Some of them exotic southern foods there. But, man, this stuff. And look, the head just hangs. I'm almost gone, and I still got a 2.5-finger head.
You know, I'm glad we didn't have this during our stout show because it kind of would have gotten washed under with all the other stouts. So.
Yeah. It's very good. It's definitely
this is worth enjoying.
It's the word chewy came to mind. It does have a good mouthfeel to it, and it said what you could sink your teeth into it.
Uh-huh.
And it's got my favorite word. Imperial
Russian.
Yeah.
A Russian Imperial Stout.
I'm not getting any kind of alcohol burn from it, though. Because it's 8%, so it's really kind of on the low end for an Imperial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Yum.
So it's about time for our beer news segment with Rick Like. liketodrink.blogspot.com.
And take it away, Rick.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
Beer, it's your best friend, you drink a lot of it.
Beer News!
Hey, we've got some news here. The acting U.S. Surgeon General, a guy by the name of Kenneth Morotsugu, has issued a call for brewers, winemakers, and distillers to stop advertising on college campuses. He's upset by the amount of advertising in college publications and also the sponsorship of events that are aimed at college students and the campus area. He's proposed also expanding educational initiatives to curb underage drinking. The major issue for colleges and students is, and the businesses that sell alcohol near campuses is that while there's a 21-year-old drinking age, most of the students don't become legal until their senior year in college.
Yeah, true.
A lot of older students are going back to school, though. So does this guy have any real authority? Do you know what his enforcement capabilities are?
Well, you know, this is the same office that got warning labels put on cigarettes and on alcohol.
So see Everett Koop, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
true.
He does have some power, but, you know, at this stage... It's at sort of the recommending stage, and he issued this call. There was a National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism report that came out that said there are 11 million underage drinkers in the U.S. currently, and so he was using this this report as a way to you know, put out the word that he thinks that advertising on campus is irresponsible.
You know, it's kind of funny, Rick, because we've been, for the last month or so, documenting all these states enacting taxes on beer, and a lot of the motivation is because of college campuses. This seems to contradict that, and one's going to work against the other. If they were actually able to curb drinking, it's going to screw them on the taxes.
Yeah, it would. And the other thing to think about here, too, is that, you know, when you hit 18 in this country, you are legal... to do everything mm-hmm. except have a beer.
Yep.
And it's sort of a, you know, it's a double standard. And, you know, if you look at it, it's sort of a prohibition against 18, 19, and 20-year-olds.
Yeah. And it's real hard these days to find an 18 or 19-year-old who can't get their hands on a beer. And we're kind of like, I don't know. I mean, you know, the intentions are good, like most things, but the reality is just contradictory. I mean, just is, you know. When I was 18 in Tennessee, fortunate enough, it was still a legal drinking age. I didn't go out and crash or kill myself, and none of the people I was, you know, growing up with did either, no more than anybody else. And I don't know that it...
You know, the argument was made at the time that bill was passed that it would cure a lot of the social ills that are out there. It hasn't exactly accomplished that, and for a lot of us who've recently had kids go through college, I have one through college, one in college, the interesting thing is that it's actually taken parents out of the picture of when a child might, you know, first start having, you know, beer or wine or spirits and, you know, put it in the hands of RAs on their floor.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see how that goes. I mean... good intention, Surgeon General, but we'll see what happens with that, right?
Exactly. Hey, let's turn over to some financial news. The Molson Coors Brewing Company has been doing a good job cutting costs, boosting sales of its flagship Coors Light brand, and they're also preparing to aggressively market Molson Canadian here in the United States. The company says that it's already saved $125 million in a cost savings program that they started 2 years ago when Adolph Coors from Colorado and Molson from Montreal merged. They're ahead of their goal to get to $175 million in savings in 3 years. Part of that savings came about, you guys Remember when they closed their Memphis brewery?
Yep.
Yeah, put some people out of work.
Molson Coors is getting ready to open a new, more modern plant in Virginia, and the company says that will actually, when that plant comes online, it'll actually save them more money because they won't have to transport beer from Colorado to the East Coast.
Okay, well, except for that whole Memphis being the distribution center of the world.
Yeah, you know, the whole move was a union buster here because our facility is heavily unionized.
Yeah.
So they can open up a brand spanking new one over in the Carolinas, call it more efficient, and not have a union in place.
And, you know, that brewery's been through a lot. It'll go through some more. So, you know, hey, if you don't want to be here, get the hell out. That's our attitude.
Well, I think that brewery's going to be cold iron for 3 years until they can get out of that contract.
Could be.
It's amazing. Well, speaking of getting out of here, let's talk about the Canadian Navy for a minute. This is sort of an interesting and fun story. There's a Canadian frigate called the HMCS Fredericton. They were on a patrol, handling fisheries patrol, off the Grand Banks when they were sent to the African coast last year to do some drug interdiction work. One of the officers on board the ship came up with an interesting idea. The ship has a store of duty-free cigarettes on board that are only meant to be sold to sailors when they're leaving the ship, when they're in port. But this officer decided to sell those duty-free cigarettes at the marked-up price as if the tax was on them, and then turn around and use the profits from that to subsidize, of all things, beer for the sailors.
Okay.
Sailors and beer go really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he probably had the idea that this would have been a great way during this extended deployment. They added 44 days onto their deployment to do this sort of embargo off the African coast. So the sailors got their beer for really pennies a can, saved money in that way. And lo and behold, during its mission, the Fredericton seized 22.5 tons of hashish while off Angola.
Man.
So the power of beer and happy sailors.
There you go. I mean, you know, this is small, a nice little reward.
Okay, it's not a secret. I'm an ex-Navy man. We weren't allowed to drink at sea, so we would get a care package every once in a while in the mail. They might have a beverage or two, but you had to sneak that. So it's kind of interesting that the Canadians are out there drinking along the high seas. But
I guess they're a little more disciplined.
And another thing about those cigarettes is they are fantastic for trading. Like, we'd get into Naples, Italy, and I could buy all sorts of stuff with cartons of cigarettes. So
maybe that's the reason why they save the duty-free cigs to sell to the sailors as they're leaving the ship. Huh?
Yeah,
because it's kind of like currency.
And wasn't there a little bit of backlash from this?
Yeah, they've had a bit of an investigation going, and some apologies have been made, but I think the sailors on board that ship think this is a pretty genius idea.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, why not? And like, you know, to Rick's point, U.S., that they're not going to look the other way. You're not going to, they don't want you getting tore up and running around the ship, right? But I guess in the Canadian Navy, they look at it a little different. They have drinking rules, I'm assuming, about when you can or can't drink. And if you can save a few bucks on your beer for doing that extended duty while you're on to Africa, and as you said, the results were very, very good. Well, I don't see, you know, no harm, no foul.
It looks that way to me, at least, but I'm a beer drinker, so that's I have an opinion about it. And speaking of beer and the benefits of beer, we got another story, a quick one, on the benefits of beer. Monroe County hopes to help the High Falls Brewing Company in Rochester attract state and federal funds to build a $3 million ethanol research and production plant. Guess what? They're going to use brewery waste and turn it into fuel. The county up there is going to try to help them do it because they think that they can generate about 300,000 gallons of ethanol annually. And that fuel will go into brewery vehicles and also into some of the county vehicles.
Very cool.
Very cool. And New this Belgium is growing algae also. So yeah. It's a similar relationship.
Yeah, so we got New Belgium, and they're out of Colorado?
Out of Fort Collins, Colorado.
Fort Collins, so Colorado, and a little further north, and Rochester, and been up there, beautiful place. And so that's nice, the Genesee Beer folk, right?
Yeah, they make Genesee, and they also, the J.W. Dundee's brand comes out of that brewery.
Okay.
It's had some financial problems in its past, but, you know, in more recent times, it's been doing a little bit better. And the county here is trying to help them out, create another revenue stream for them. And if this, if they get the grant money in place, they hope to have the ethanol plant under construction in January of 2008.
Very nice. Well, that's something
hopefully this will help turn them around financially.
Yeah. Be great if that does work out. I mean, everything I've heard, converting cars to ethanol is not that big a deal to do. And if you've got a steady supply of it, that's always the hard part. And county vehicles benefiting from it, then that gives Genesee something to turn around and ask for a little bit of tax break, a little relief on any debt they might have. Everybody wins.
And it's another way that beer's making the world a little better place to live.
A better place to live.
There it is. All right. Well, Rick, thanks as always for keeping us up to date.
Hey, guys, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you. Once again, he's just full of news.
So, bringing up the Navy, my ship was ABM 69, USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. And our show number is...
It's 69.
Man,
coincidence.
Quinky-dink, huh?
I know.
There's something about 69 that I forgot.
Yeah, I know. It sounds sort of familiar. I think I knew what it was when I was married. No, before I was married.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
not ringing really
no.
Anyway, Matchbox Blues.
By Tab Benoit.
Hold my clothes.
Benoit.
And hopefully we'll get to see him.
Yeah, coming up. We're popping the beer on our next. There he is. This is not a Bear Republic, but it's right up the road. So this is a NoCal beer.
You're in Healdsburg, California, go south a little bit to Sonoma and stop at a little place called Russian River.
And this is a, what we're pouring here is a, I picked this up because Russian River, I had this a lot when I was in Southern California. They're really, I don't know what you call them. They're not rich beers, but they're just really rich flavors. They're, and they're all of kind of spiritual bent. This particular one is called Damnation. It's a Belgian golden ale.
He also does, Vinny is the brewer. He does,
Pliny the Elder,
and
right?
Pliny the Younger. So he also does the.
And he's got a couple of the others that I called you about that we were talking, we've talked before about beers that are put in bourbon barrels. They do a couple in wine barrels, and hopefully we're going to get some of those in the near future and review them. But same part of the area.
We were going to call this a Northern California Beer Show. Yeah. Kind of like featuring breweries, so mm-hmm. we want Bear Republic. Damnation Golden Ale, 7% alcohol by volume, 25 IBUs. Damnation in the great beer-producing country of Belgium. Some brewers have made it a tradition to give their beers an unusual name. Sometimes the name is curious. Now and then it is diabolical. And other times it is just plain silly. Damnation is our brewmaster's interpretation of a Belgian-style golden ale. It has extraordinary aromas of banana and pear, with mouth-filling flavors of sweet malt and earthy hops.
Okay.
The lingering finish is dry and slightly bitter, but very, very smooth.
And it pours a white head, which is dissipating kind of rapidly. Very, very effervescent. Lots of fine bubbles. Got that coriander, that spicy taste to it. Very good. Love the Belgian stuff.
It's good. Mm. Three medals from the GABF. 1999... to gold, and then silver in 2001, 2004.
Very good. So, it says 7.75.
Pretty prestigious.
On the bottle there. It's like 7-something on Right Bear.
Yeah, well, it always changes.
What's the rating?
This is actually from the website.
It says
7%.
And we looked it up. We had it up on Right Bear. It was in the 90s.
But you always want to trust the bottle because that's based on the actual batch.
Very tasty. And kind of a different... So we've had a bunch of different styles tonight. IPA, stout, and now we're into Belgian, and we've kind of screwed ourselves with
this
these...
This is really golden.
It is a golden. It's almost an orangey golden. I'm looking across the table, and it's picking up light on yours, and of course
we're... also comparing it to a Frito bag there.
Maybe it's picking up the orange here.
Kind of orange,
Now, it's very good stuff. Very good stuff. And got a couple of things coming up here on this segment. Before we get into it too far, we were chatting about Hollywood and blockbusters and things like that. And you went to see one that we were talking about last show. You got to go see Black Snake Moan.
And I really loved the movie. Our boy from Millington.
Justin Timberlake.
He did a great job. He was Ron. The girl's, the nymphomaniac's boyfriend, and he got shipped off to the army, and she had been molested as a child, so she kept having this reoccurring thing where she just got this drive to go out and be slutty, basically. Mm-hmm. So she got all beat up and dumped on the side of the road, and that's when Samuel L. Jackson picked her up and brought her home, and he had his own demons that he was battling. So all the three major characters were kind of like flawed, and they all used each other to heal themselves.
Yeah.
So with a kick-ass soundtrack being filmed here in the Mid-South, Christina Ricci, not bad to look at.
Mm-mm. Easy on the
good,
eyes.
Fairly
yes.
good performances. Yeah. An interesting storyline. I was pretty well captivated.
Yeah.
You know?
And Samuel L. learned the guitar.
Yeah.
And played in it. And so how did that come across on the big screen? Because I've got the songs.
It looked really well because I know you played the song to me after I'd seen the movie. And it sounded a little hokey because he's talking. And,
yeah.
You know. And
yeah.
There's the soundtrack in the background. But in the movie, it's like you could see lightning flashing. And
yeah.
You could hear her roaring, and then he was yeah. strumming a guitar, and just as the, you know, it's kind of like the lightning was synchronized with the,
yeah.
the blues song, and as he was kicking it in with the blues riff, you know, she's like holding on to his leg because she's scared. And
so it was kind of a whole experience there
yeah,
with
it was
him.
Powerful
yeah.
when you're seeing the theater watching.
All right.
So.
Very cool.
I recommend it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Unfortunately, I've been traveling and. Being subjected to the total arrogance and I don't give a damn about the customer attitude of U.S. Airways. May they burn in the fiery pits of hell.
Don't they have a Bill of Rights for their flyers now?
Who knows, man? But
They're the ones who had people on the runway for 10 hours.
Right? Yeah, I was one of them. They're pissing me off. And I'm not calling. I'm refraining. I'm calling them tomorrow. And our friend Rick Like is in Charlotte, which is like their home base of operations. So I almost ended up doing the show from his house because I was stranded there. I was going to have to phone it in. But, yeah, they're going to get a piece of my mind. And as you know.
It wouldn't be the first big foamy head you phoned in.
No. And I'm not short on words. So I'm going to call up and give them an ass chewing from down south, and who knows, but if they you know, toss a couple of trips to Aruba my way, I might let it slide. But if they don't, oh yeah, they're gonna be hearing from me. Rick refers to him as U.S. scare.
Yeah, well, I think so, they came out with the customer bill of rights because they were pushing back from the gate.
Well,
so they'd have the on-time departure.
They didn't.
But they'd sit on a freaking tarmac yeah. for 10 hours.
Yeah, the only plane that was on time today was the one I missed. Because I was trapped. So anyway, airlines suck. On to the next topic.
Tom Brewer's update.
Yeah.
I was a club-joining fool this week. I joined the AHA, American Homebrewers Association, and I joined our Bluff City Brewers. So
you did?
Yeah.
All right.
I ordered a beer brewed magazine. It's a fine magazine. Brew your own. And they had a great feature in the April, March.
Yeah, they only interview quality, respected brewers.
That's right. They get the opinion of the industry giants.
The titans of the homebrew, as it were.
That's right. So Kristen Grant, she has an article, Cookie in a Glass.
Mm.
And thanks to Clark, he sent me a copy of the article. And excellent writing. I highly recommend it, so I ordered the magazine.
Yeah.
I mean, if all their articles are this high quality with the expert opinions that this yeah. article has in it, then that's a magazine that's well worth
yeah.
subscribing to.
Was there anybody we know in that article?
Well, I see my name in there. About
oh,
four
your
times.
Name's in there. Hey, what do you know? They yeah. called you.
Yeah. I think no. we promoted that already, but.
No, I read the article. It's very good. And it's got our pals, several people
Rick
in there.
Sellers
we know.
Is
Rick
in
Sellers
there.
Is in there, and you're in there a couple times, as you pointed out. Very good. And I read through it. It gets a little technical, but not so technical that they don't, you know, they clarify. It's pretty good. It's a very good read. I was thinking, you know, as, you know, on the homebrew scale, I'm near the bottom. I'm pretty simple, basic, like to bake beer, like to drink it a lot more, where you're a lot more technical and into the science and the art of it. And I think there's something for everybody in this magazine. Very good.
Yeah. So definitely go out and buy it. Our,
yeah.
Subscribe to it, I guess is the word for it. I subscribed off James Spencer's site, basicbrewing.com.
So he gets like a nickel every time you get one, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And you can also go to Pacific Brew News and subscribe from there, depending on who you want to toss your coins to.
There you go. Good stuff.
Brewing updates. This weekend I will be brewing my third batch in as many weekends.
And this is for the impending barbecue?
The barbecue at South Haven.
All right.
Which I am the lead cook.
You are the head cook.
Head cook.
You get the knee pads. You're it.
Yeah, I get something.
I'm fourth assistant. I think I'm like Miss Congeniality or something, or maybe not even that high.
I love to delegate. Well, you're doing the artwork for the T-shirts. So yeah. That's what's cool. Anyway, I'm doing an ESB that I found on Johnny Max's site.
Very good.
It's his favorite beer. And
it'll
be the first time
I've
used corn as an adjunct. So
okay, now what's the motivation for the corn?
I don't know.
Just to a little more alcohol? Or
recipe? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Because he said so?
Because he said
good
so.
Good enough.
And it's his favorite beer. That's enough recommendation.
That's right.
So if you want to get the recipe, go to www.brewcrazy.com and join the forum. And there's a whole section on recipes. I have also done some imperial ale.
Yeah, you did a dogfish.
Dogfish at 90. That's right. Yeah.
So what do you got cooking there for these? You got three kegs.
Yes.
So what we got the ESB you're going to do.
I've got the Snipes Mountain Sunnyside Pale Ale.
Pale Ale.
That I dry hopped the crap out of.
Right. Yeah, you said you were hitting it with every hop you had.
I had all these hops left over and I dry hopped.
That's all right.
So I threw them on in. So I may have put too much hops in there. I may not have enough malt backbone for that. But hopefully it will. And I also did the Wee Heavy.
Yeah.
So that's in the fermenter right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend I'll be brewing the ESB.
That's really four then. Because you got your Dogfish 90
that's
clone.
That's all bottled.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
And then I've got my little few gallons of IPA. And then
should all be good.
And then Tom Mascari is supposed to be brewing up some. If he'll ever take time off from Spanish class to come sit with us and have a beverage, he'll bring us up to date on that. And it's the barbecue we're talking about. We're going to be doing this end of April, and that precedes our favorite month of the year, May.
And we've been accepted.
Yeah.
To the barbecue.
South Haven Barbecue. Yeah, it's in the bag.
It's for real.
It's for real. We've had a bunch of meetings. We've got the test cook in my backyard. I'm looking forward to that.
That's right. We'll be bringing the smoker here.
Yeah. Everybody's going to set it up.
The name is BQ'd. Beer
right.
Blues and Barbecue.
That's right.
There might be some extra T-shirts for sale.
And we'll have them on the website. So if you want one, want to be a virtual participant in the barbecue, as it were. We'll have pictures. We'll have
all
kinds of stuff.
We're all about the beer, the blues, and the barbecue.
That's it. And
new segment.
New segment. And we had so much culture last time. We were just consumed by it. We thought, you know, this just kind of brings a little something special into our lives. And we're all, you know, beer, blues, barbecue. And maybe a little culture.
Now we're going to add some class to that.
That's right. And so with the kind permission of Captain Hops, the owner, operator, and head janitor at Beer Haiku Daily, we present the Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater's version of Beer Haiku.
Buy me a brewski, and I'll tell you a story. Then I have to pee. Beer Haiku.
Culture. Brilliant.
That was submitted by Beer Lover 420.
And you can get a lot more of these simply by going to beerhaikudaily.com. Our new pal, Captain Hops, he runs the board and lots of submission. And you just think about it, just the whole idea, you could get a Beer Haiku every day.
Every day.
It's phenomenal.
This is the daily beer haiku.
And we have a link on our website if we mispronounced it or screwed it up in any way. Go to bigfoamyhead.com. It's right there on the right-hand side.
No, we're not desperate for new segments.
It's just cool. The whole idea. I love that. And you got to read some of these are serious because we read some last show, so you're going to get more of this. Whether you like it or not, just bend over and take it. Okay? That's all I got to say about the haiku.
So play that one back about three or four times. It's a
yeah,
keeper, I think.
It's a keeper. And, man, this Russian River's tasty. We've had just some really good beers
today. Don't forget, we start the evening with the Bud Extra.
I know. That jacked us up and got us going.
That's the beer with caffeine.
The shout-out. Shout-out. I think we should pour a little on the ground for the fallen homies. But, man, I tell you, it's a good thing we didn't drink a whole one apiece.
It smells like raspberry.
Oh, God, raspberry and cat piss. It's horrible. It stinks.
It's a good thing we followed it up with some damn fine beers.
I don't think they recommend a glass to go with this, but good stuff. And
certainly more news coming from Memphis in May, because we live for that.
Yeah, lots more coming. And Tabernois, who we just played. I hope I'm saying his name. You know, it's usually pronounced that. I hope it's not Benoit. But he's one of the guys. Mm-hmm. So we're going to feature some of these folks down the road. And George Thorogood coming up. It's a huge lineup. You can go to memphisinmay.org. Yeah, Holy Ghost, what we played earlier. They're going to be there, too. So we recommend this every year. Pack your stuff. Come on down. Join us in Memphis in May. If anybody's coming, let us know.
If you're ever going to come to Memphis, May is the time to do it.
It is. Plenty of road trip. Come on down and join us, because we're going to be having a big-time month-long party.
The first weekend is the music festival. The third weekend is the barbecue.
Got something going on all the time, so look forward to that. Look forward to seeing you. And good beers from Bear Republic, and a little side note from Russian River.
Damnation.
Fantastic.
Damnation, the act of damning. The state of being condemned to eternal punishment in hell.
Well, we'll hope that isn't what's left for us from here on out. But until then, we'll see you next week. And
drive safe.